What you'll do is when you leave, you'll just pass it out when you walk out to the usher. No problem. Okay? Easy, easy. Okay. Now, I want to. Okay. 1 Samuel chapter 4. 1 Samuel chapter 4. Before we start, let me challenge all of you next week to bring one person. Okay? One person. Comprende? Comprendemos? Is that a word? Comprendemos? Do we understand? Is that what that means? Okay. Do you speak Spanish? Comprendemos? Porque todos han pecado y no alcanzan la gloria de Dios? Lord, we just thank you for all these disruptive people in this service. We thank you that you brought them here tonight. And we just pray that you would speak to us. Lord, I pray that you would challenge us to take action on what we learned tonight, that we would really do it and follow through in Jesus' name. Everyone said?
Amen.
By an expression of, through vocal expression, how many of you are rooting for the Lakers in the... How many of you are rooting for Boston? How many of you really don't care? How is it that the Boston fans are louder than the Laker fans? And there's only five of them. I don't watch basketball except in the playoffs. And before a lot of y'all were born, there was a guy named Magic Johnson. You may not know, who used to. It was the Lakers against Larry Bird and the Celtics. It was a big rivalry, historic. So, how many of y'all don't know about those two guys? Anybody? You don't know about Magic Johnson and Larry Bird? Oh wow. Okay. Anyway. When you watch basketball, especially if you have a team that you really root for, it can be very stressful because they're winning, they're losing. They're winning, they're losing. They're winning, they're losing. They're up by 20, they're down by 2. You know, it's just a stressful experience, especially when they get the free throws and they miss foul shots. And you just get all frustrated. And you think, why can't that guy make a foul shot? Well, I want you to think about this. If all of you in here are, or most of you in here, have a relationship with God. The God of the universe, who created the heavens and the universe, created you. Even if you believe in the Big Bang Theory, who created the stuff that was banged? And then who banged it? Okay, so whoever did that, that's still a lot of power. And there's still a lot of matter, even though I don't believe this is what happened. But still, if you imagine all the matter in the universe compressed, think about how much power that is. Okay, so either way you look at it, somebody with somebody incredible power and wisdom and creativity. And by the way, if you believe in the Big Bang Theory, you know, it's up to you. But if you look around the universe and the incredible order and beauty and variety of beauty in the universe, how that can happen from an accident. Well, that's up to you. Anyway. So if that's your God, here's my question. If that is your God and you pray to him, how come there is not more evidence of supernatural power in your life? You're a Christian. You pray. Your life isn't that much more different than your neighbor, some of you. You don't hear God tell you amazing things. You don't have power in your life. You kind of maybe have a little more peace than a non-Christian, but you may not be that much different. Why is that? If you're a God, if you serve the God of heaven. So we're going to talk about that today. Now, let's do a little quiz. We're in the book of 1 Samuel. Everyone say 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel, it ends the time of the judges. The judges were individuals, men and women, that God chose randomly to lead Israel. The time of the judges is when people did what was right in their own eyes. People did what was right in their own eyes. They sinned against God. God oppressed them. They cried out to God. God sent a deliverer, and then God gave them peace. And they went through that cycle several times through the time of the judges. The time of the judges was how many hundred years? How many hundred years? And the time of the judges started when somebody died. His name starts with a J. His name is? Say it again. And it ended when who became king? Very good. So it started when Joshua died. It went 300 years about up until when Saul became king, which is going to happen in the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel is about a guy named Samuel. Samuel was the first real legitimate judge, his son's judge, but they weren't really legitimate. Samuel was the last guy, and he's going to anoint Saul king because people are going to ask for a king. We'll see that in a couple weeks. No, next week, I can't remember. So this book is about, this story is about two guys named Hophni and Phinehas. They are Eli's sons. Eli's the priest. So everyone say Hophni.
Hophni.
Say Phinehas.
Phinehas.
Say Hophni.
Hophni.
Say Phinehas.
Phinehas.
It's time, it's during the time of the judges. King Saul's getting ready to become king, but not yet. And Eli's the priest, Samuel's the judge, and Hophni and Phinehas are Eli's sons. So Eli's sons are what? And who?
Phinehas.
Now Hophni and Phinehas are Egyptian names. Hophni means tadpole. How many of you have never held a tadpole in your hand? That's messed up. How many of you do not know what a tadpole is? Tadpoles, you know, frogs, they lay the little things in the water, little black teardrop looking things, and they wiggle. And you put them in your hand, they wiggle in your hand, then you put them back in the water so you don't become a tadpole murderer. And then they grow legs, and then they crawl and become frogs, okay? So tadpoles are a frog before it's a frog, lives in the water. So Hophni means tadpole. Phinehas means the Nubian. The Nubian were people in northern Sudan, Egypt. They were extremely dark people, okay? It's an ethnic group. Now you might be asking, why is this Jewish guy called the Nubian? Because in your mind you think, that all the people in the Bible, or you may think, all the people in the Bible are white people. What you have to understand, one, and I'm going to go off on a little tangent, but I'll come back. but work with me. One, you have to understand that you can't believe what you see on television, number one. Number two, you can't believe what the devil tells you, which is this, that some people are white and some people are black. In reality, all people are the same color, they're brown. Now, some people, you don't see that brownness until they come lay in the sun for a while, but think about it. When you get a tan, you're not changing color. The sun is activating your melanin cells and your color's coming out. Now, does it mean that everybody's black? No. No one's black. You're not black and you're not white. That's a devil designation because the devil wants to cause division. God never divided people by color. He divided them by language, the Tower of Babel. So all of us are a different shade of brown. Matter of fact, I have a whole sermon on that, which is biologically backed up by some biology because it's true. What God did is he made different shades of brown. If you look around the room, there's all different shades of brown. It's amazing what he can do. And so that's all we are. So in the Bible, Noah had three sons, Japheth, Ham, and Shem. Shem is the father of Semitic people, Middle East. Ham is the father of the people who went to Africa, more darker people. And Japheth is the father of the ancestors of the people who went to Europe, where what we would call white people come from. Two-thirds of it were visibly brown. So the people in the Bible are more Semitic, Hamitic people, more brown people. So if that messes your mind up, don't let it mess your mind up because they're still people. Okay, just don't get hung up on it. So that's why he's called a Nubian, because he just happened to be a dark brother. Now, but it doesn't matter, okay, because you have Eli, you have Hophni and Phinehas, you have the tadpole and the Nubian, and then you have Eli and you have Samuel. What's going to happen is there's going to be a war, a battle, between Israelites and Philistines. And they are going to bring the Ark of the Covenant to the battle because they think the Ark of the Covenant will secure victory. Now, if you remember Raiders of the Lost Ark, y'all have Indiana Jones. How many of y'all have never seen Raiders of the Lost Ark? Okay, okay. Okay, that's all right, that's all right, that's all right. We'll still pray for you. It's pretty sad, but we'll pray for you. Raiders of the Lost Ark, you remember, they were going to get the Ark. This ark, that we're talking about. They wanted to get the ark. If you had the ark, you had the presence of God, and any war you went, you put the ark in the front, you win. That's what the movie was about. So that's what these guys are going to do. They're going to get the ark, they're going to bring it to the battle, and they're going to hope that they win. But in fact, they're going to lose. Hophni and Phinehas are going to die, and the ark is going to get stolen. And here's the question. How could that happen? You have God. How could that happen? Now, question is, how many of y'all, don't raise your hand, just think about it, how many of y'all want more power of God in your life? If you want more power of God in your life, that's what we're going to talk about, because some of y'all, a lot of y'all have God in your life, but you don't see any evidence or very little evidence of it. You are no different than your friends who don't have God. But that shouldn't be. And so we're going to identify one reason. Now, if you look in your notes, there's a little box. It says, how do you go from experiencing little power to experiencing a lot of power of God? And it's blank. It's empty. So what we're going to challenge you to do is sometime through the sermon that God speaks to you something very practical that you have to do for you to get more of God's power in your life. Now, when I was growing up in New York, we had a sidewalk in front of our house. And then there was a little piece of grass. There was the lawn, the sidewalk, then a little strip of grass, and then a thing called a curb. A curb is a little concrete lip on the edge of the thing that went into the street. Y'all know what that is? Okay, you step off the curb, you go on the street. Okay, it's about that. Okay. So there was a curb in front of my house. And when I was little, I didn't have a lot of friends. I was kind of a lonely child. And when water would run down the curb, I would play in that water. Are y'all following me? Did y'all do that? Okay, and what you put a stick or something that floats in the water, and then you can I get an amen? Okay. So you do that, you know, a few times. Mommy, look. My mother wouldn't even play with me. Matter of fact, I have a friend of mine. He was talking about how his parents didn't like him. We were grown. We were talking about this like a few years ago. He was hilarious. And he said that when he would walk into his kitchen, his mother would do this. He was kidding around. But anyway, so I'm out here playing my stick, and I'm putting the stick in the water and running, you know. And then after that got boring after a couple minutes, then we would make a dam, and you build the water up. And then when you moved, you let the water build, and then you might, you know, put stuff up here and let it go run down and get stopped, and then yell at it, see, you can't get by my dam is stronger than, and then. You move the stick, and the water does what? Whoosh. Okay, the water is the power of God, but there's a stick blocking it in your life. You have to move the stick, and you have to identify the stick. Now, probably most of y'all already know what one of those sticks is. You probably know. You don't pray. You don't read your Bible. You come to church semi-regularly, or you got sin in your life, and you know what it is. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but raise your hand. You know what it is. And there's probably a whole bunch of sticks, but we just want to identify one. So if sometime during we're talking, just write it in the thing, and don't worry about someone seeing you. Just do what you do in school. Just fold it over, okay? You want to identify one. Now, some of y'all we all have a little bit of dysfunction in our life. We have dysfunctional relationships, maybe one. We have a dysfunctional relationship with somebody. We have a dysfunctional relationship with God. We have a dysfunctional relationship with ourselves. In other words, our relationship is not right. We know it, and we don't want to deal with it because we're so used to it and comfortable with it. If God shows you something like that, a dysfunctional, self-destructive behavior, the devil's going to tell you, if you change that, what are you going to do? Because you're so used to that, and it's going to be scary to fix it. I can't tell you how many countless people I've spoken to in my life. You tell them, and they talk about what's wrong, but they won't change it because that's all they know, or they have become so comfortable with being the victim that they don't want to change it. So they hold on to it and they stay like that the rest of their life. You don't have to do that. God will get you through. Now, it takes faith. But it takes courage to face it, admit it, and deal with it. So hopefully you would acknowledge one thing, and deal with it. Amen? Because you don't want to go to church just to hear something to tickle your ear to make yourself feel good because you came to church. You want to come to church to encounter God, and when you encounter God, something's going to change. Because you're not God, I'm not God, He is. So when we encounter God, He tries to make us more like Him, which always requires change, but He's not going to force it on you. He's going to allow you to make that decision. So it's up to you to make that decision. So we're going to look for that one stick. We move the stick, we're going to get more power. Whether it be more wisdom, more vision, more courage, more opportunity, whatever. Are you following me? Very good. Okay, let's turn to chapter 4, 1 Samuel. The 9th book of the Bible says, "Now Israel went out to battle against the Philistines and camped beside Ebenezer." Ebenezer means stone of help. And the Philistines camped in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in battle array against Israel. And when they joined themselves in battle, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed 4,000 men of the army in the field. And when the people had come to the camp of the elders of Israel, they said, "Why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh to us, that when it comes among us, it may save us from the hand of our enemies." So the people sent to Shiloh. Shiloh was their religious center at the time, during the Judges, that they might bring from there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. The two sons of Eli, their names were? What was the first one? And the second one? Very good. It's right there in front of you. They were with the Ark of the Covenant. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, the Israel shouted so loudly the earth shook. Now, on a count of three, say, "Jesus.
Jesus."
I tried to make it as simple as possible. On a count of three, say, "Jesus." She might be like, "Why are they laughing?" When I say three, you say "Jesus." Three.
Jesus.
The earth shook. Verse 6. Shouldn't have been that difficult. When the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What does that sound in the camp mean?" And they understood that the Ark of the Lord came into the camp. So the Philistines said, "God has come into the camp." And they said, "Woe to us, for such a thing has never happened. Woe to us, who will deliver us from the hand of the mighty gods?" They thought Israel had more than one God. Israel only had one God. And says, "These are the gods that struck the Egyptians with plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and conduct yourselves like men, you Philistines. Man up, that they do not become servants of the Hebrews as they have been to us. Conduct yourselves like men and fight." So the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated, and every man fled to his tent. There was a very great slaughter, and there fell 30,000 foot soldiers. And the Ark of the Covenant was captured, and Eli's sons Hophni and Phinehas died. How could that be? Now what we're going to do is we're going to look at Eli and Hophni and Phinehas' life. Because it was their personal life that was the stick. Their personal life was blocking God's power. There's something in our lives that's blocking God's power. It may not be straight up evil, wicked sin. It may be that you're just not reading enough. You're not taking your prayer life serious. You're really not taking church. You may come, but you don't bring your Bible. Or you may come and bring your Bible, but this is the only time you ever read your Bible. This is kind of more of an entertainment, make me feel good time for you. Well, that's not good enough. You have to say, "God, show me what you want me to do, because there's so much more God wants for you, and there's something blocking it." And you may even see other people and go, "Man, I wish my life was like that. And how come that? And how come that?" And you're like, "Well, stop complaining. It's on you." Because here's the thing. God wants to bless you. He does. He is glorified when your prayers are answered. He looks good. People want to know about Him. So He wants to answer your prayers. He does. But it has to be on His terms. He's very patient. He's very bullheaded. And what I mean by that, he's not going to bend his rules for you or me. Okay. Let's look at Phinehas and Eli and, I mean, those two kids' lives. Verse 12 of chapter 2. Verse 12 of chapter 2. Everyone say 2. Verse 12. The sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when a man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come with a three-pronged flesh hook in his hand while the meat was boiling. Basically, what they're going to explain is that when people brought a sacrifice to God, the sacrifice was supposed to be given and cooked a certain way, and then the priest would take his portion to eat because that's how the priest ate from the offerings they brought. Okay? But these guys are going to do something different. Let's see what it says. Verse 14. He would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, and the priest would take for himself all the flesh hook brought up. So they did in Shiloh all to all the Israelites who came. Also before they burned the fat. Say burn the fat. The priest's servant would come and say to the man who sacrificed, give meat for roasting to the priest, for he will not take boiled meat from you, but raw. And if the man said they should really burn the fat first, then take as much as you want, he would say, no, you must give it to me now. And if not, I will take it by force. Therefore, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord for the men aboard the offering of God. What they did is they came and they took their portion before God got his portion. They were supposed to cook it, burn the fat. It was a sweet aroma to the Lord, and then give a portion to the priest. The priest, these guys came and said, no, we don't want to wait. We want to take it now. Basically, what they were doing was stealing from God. There is something some of y'all have that belongs to God. You're stealing from God. You have stolen property. It could be money that you're supposed to give. Could be time that you're supposed to give. It could be credit. What I mean by credit, God did that, not me. Maybe God wants to use your things, your house, your car, your apartment, your dorm room, whatever. You think it's yours? It's God's. Your body belongs to God. Anything growing in your body, that's God's. It's not yours. It's God's. Your body does not belong to you, and anything in your body does not belong to you. You don't have a right. It's God's. And if you think it's yours, you need to tell God that because he believes it's his. Everything you have is his. Your money's his. Your clothes are his. Your opportunities, your intelligence, your skills, your talents, it all belongs to him. Are you using it his way? Are you using it to glorify him, or is it all about you? Because if it's all about you, then you can't expect God to bless you if it's all about you. It has to be all about him. Does that mean that you can't work your career? No, it means that you do that to glorify God. You use his wisdom and his intelligence to glorify him. So some of y'all are living a life where you're stealing. Your whole life is theft. And you come to church and give God a little few minutes, and then you go back to living for yourself. You can't get blessed that way. You have to be saying, God, what do you want me to do with my day? Is this a school you want me to go to? If I'm going to go to school, I'm going to do the best for you. Did I do a good job today? Did I treat this person properly? We'll get to that in a minute. So if you're stealing from God, that means you have something that doesn't belong to you, and or you the things you have not acknowledged they belong to him, and you are not using them to glorify him. If you have something that belongs to him and you are not using it to glorify him, you will not enjoy it. Got a girlfriend? Is she the girl God wants for you and you're treating her God's way? If no, or no one of those, you're not going to enjoy her to the degree that God wants you to enjoy her. Vice versa. That relationship will not be blessed. It won't be blessed. No matter how hard you try. And some of y'all may be in a relationship and you think, man, this person's so perfect for me, but something ain't right. It may be that God ain't in it. That may be what it is. And trust me, you do not want to go down that road. I don't care how fine she is or he is. Does anybody here live in Escondido? Escondido, Escondido. Anybody else? Escondido, Escondido. Anybody else? Okay. I'm going to say some things against Escondido. But don't take it personal because it has nothing to do with y'all. Escondido is a very nice place. It really has nothing to do with Escondido. It has everything to do with me. Because I bought a house in Escondido about 13, 14 years ago. God told me many ways and many times, do not buy that house. But I was disobedient. Oh, we can make it work. We can make it work. He said, don't buy that house. Oh, I'll make it work. I can make it work. Well, I lived in the house 15 months. I hated it. I hated driving to the exit by the North County Fair, whatever street is that. Via Rancho Parkway. I hated it. Why? Because I was not supposed to be living there. Had nothing to do with Escondido. Had nothing to do with the people of Escondido. The mayor, if they have, do they have a mayor? Okay, whatever. It had nothing to do with that. The sky was still blue. The sun came up. The rain was still, it was, everything was normal like everywhere else. The trees were green. The plants were green. But I was not supposed to be there. You know what God said? Because you're not doing what I want you to do, I am not going to bless you. I hated living in the house. I had fires in the house. I caught on fire. We had leaks in that. Now, do you think that that's a Christian thing to do, to laugh at someone who's on fire? Sinners, sinners, sinners. I did catch on fire, really. We had leaks. Our roof leaked. The leaks, the water came in the house from the ground, and the water came right through the door. No lie. Y'all remember El Nino when the rain was raining this way? The rain came. This is what the rain did. If y'all know, I'm telling you some meteorologist stuff. The rain came down and did this. Right into my house. We had gophers. We had rats. I have ultimate respect for rats. I was setting traps in the attic. We had some die and fall down in the wall and stink. It was nasty. We had a rat. I actually did a funeral for this rat. I had so much respect. Not for real. I just bow heads. I was the only one out there, but it was. Here's what happened. I put a rat trap. I must have caught 10, 15 rat with traps, but this particular rat, I heard, it was above my bedroom. I heard snap for 3 hours, 180 minutes in the middle of the night. Clank, 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 clank. He was fighting the trap. It was on him. He was dragging it around, and I was in bed going, die, please die. Felt bad for the brother. I was, you know, if he just died right away, it would have been okay. But I know he's up there going, So I go up there the next morning. No lie. The trap was on his neck. And I went up there. I was like, you are a bad dude. So I did a burial. But the night that I left this house, we got tormented. All this stuff is true. This is really a true story. The night we were considering a offer made by somebody else. Of course, we didn't tell them about the fires or the rats. That's all circumstantial. A rat came. We had a fireplace in the room that didn't work. How does a fireplace not work? I'm serious. We put stuff in there and go, poof, and it would never just light. This is true. A rat came down the fireplace. We're laying in bed. No lie. My wife and I, when we were tormented by these rats, we go, this can't be happening. We hear them coming into the bedroom. We're there going, who's that? Who's that? The rat comes down, and he's in, you know, the fireplace in the vent where the heat's supposed to come out? He's in there. So I take my flashlight, and I walk up to the vent and shine it, and he's like this. And I'm looking at him. He's like this far away. I'm looking at him. This is my bedroom. I'm the owner of this house. You're supposed to be scared of me. I'm human. You're an animal. He's like, we own this house. Agree with that. I tell you the whole story to tell you this. If you have something that belongs to God, you will not enjoy it. It will not work. If you have the wrong school, it ain't going to work. You have the wrong relationship, it ain't going to work. You have the wrong job, it ain't going to work. And you want God to bless you. God says, I'm not going to bless you. God would never bless that house for us. We left. We drive there every now and then to look at it. We do. We pray for the people who are in it. We just throw holy water on them. God bless those people. I want you to write down one thing that maybe you got to change in your life that you are not using for God's glory, or you got that God doesn't belong to God. If you come to God and you're saying, God, please bless me, he says, no, I want you to get your life right first. Okay, look at the next one, verse 22. It says, Eli was very old, and he had heard everything his sons of Israel did, and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle. They were laying with the women coming to church. He said, why do you do such a thing? For I hear of your evil dealings among all the people. No, my sons, it is not a good report that I hear you make the Lord's people transgress. Everyone say transgress. So what they did is they violated the rules of relationship. Them sleeping with the women coming to tabernacle, that was one thing. But it was also affecting all the people who heard about it. And people who heard about it were saying, we're not going to go to church anymore. We're not going to believe in God because of those guys. There may be something you're doing that's causing other people to question God. You have relationships with people. Now, the number one commandment is to love God. And the second is just like it, to love our neighbor as ourselves. What does it mean to love somebody? Here's a very simple definition. Is that you help them obey God. That's it. Whether it be your love for your mother or your girlfriend or your wife, it's the same. The most common denominator of all loving love in every relationship, and by the way, even an animal, is that you help it obey God. Now, I'm not saying that the dog's going to read the Bible. But it should pray. No, I'm kidding. The dog, you want to help, you want to protect animals so they can be what God intended them to be. Okay? But with people, you should always act in such a way that it encourages people to obey God. Is there something you're doing where people are watching you and interacting with you in any way form where they're not obeying God because of you? Now, if you tell them here's what the Bible says and they don't like that, I'm not saying about that, but it's because of your non-unbiblical behavior. There may be somebody you have and right now you're having a fight with, an argument with, and you have to straighten that relationship out. That relationship is not good. A few weeks ago, I told you I was talking to a guy who was just changed teams in the NFL, and when I had a conversation with him about 4 or 5 weeks ago, he spent about 15 minutes complaining about some guys he had previously played with. Just 15 minutes straight. I was like, I said, okay, stop. I said, look, you need to let that go, right? You got a great career. God's blessed you, blah, blah, blah. And the devil's spoiling everything you have going on because of those few guys that said stuff about you. And I'm sure you're not completely innocent. So just let it go. Don't be burdened by it. Oh, okay. I said, here's my agreement with you, is that you would never bring it up after you leave this car today. Never bring it up because it's not edifying you. It's not going to edify people who hear it. It's going to drive you crazy and everyone else you talk to. There's no benefit in you talking about it. Let it go. Oh, I know you're right. All right. So that was like a month ago. He calls me yesterday for something else in the Bible. So we're talking. And then after we finished talking, I said, hey, I got something to ask you about. Remember that assignment I gave you like a month ago? Not to talk about blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, I did it one time. I brought it up, but I caught myself and I stopped. All right, oh, whatever. Listen, I got part B to the assignment, okay? Now what I want you to do is I want you to call all those guys up and apologize to them. That's what he said. Oh, man, I can't do that. He said, I can't do that, man. I can't do that. I said, no, you don't understand. You say you want to take it to the next level, you want to be a man of God, blah, blah, blah. This is not an option. You have to do this. Now, of course, he doesn't have to, but I wanted to make him think he did. says, you have to do this, man, but you want to take it to this level. This is one thing about reading the Bible and learning it. It's another thing to do it. So you need to do is call these dudes up. You are not admitting that they didn't do anything wrong. All you're doing is getting your life right with God. This is between you and God. But what if they say this? It don't matter. It don't matter. That's not your problem. You have to get over that too. You have to get your life with God. Now, I'm going to tell you this. This is true. Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. Abel gave an offering to God. God said, I accept your offering. Cain gave an offering to God, and God said, I don't accept your offering. So God rejected, my husband got, he rejected Cain's offering. God rejected Cain's offering, and Cain was upset with God. He had conflict with God. What Cain did is he took that anger out on his brother. That's why he killed his brother. His brother didn't do anything to him. He had an issue with God, so he took it out on his brother. A couple things I want to tell you. When people take something out on you, it's usually not you. They have something else going on. Mad people do bad things. Hurt people hurt people. People who are hurt hurt other people. Now, if you have an issue with somebody, what you might want to do is step back and get your life right with God. Now, you may say, well, what do you mean get my life right with God? Because if your relationship with God is powerful, this won't be an issue. You can call me anything you want. And by the way, I do get called stuff all the time. Get emails, people, this, blah, 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 you this, you that. And I have to look at that and go, God, what's that? He said, don't worry about it. I'll deal with it. Okay, good. God, what about that one? He's got a point. Really? Yeah, but you're cool. Just don't do that again. Oh, okay. I'm telling you, this is true. God, what do you think? Because that's all that really matters. If you got an issue here, what you need to do is step back and say, God, tell me what you want me to do to make this right. And sometimes God will tell you to go repent. Sometimes God will tell you to go apologize. Sometimes God will say, stay away from that person. But all the times God will do this, you come close to me. But if you got an issue here and you just, you can forget about this issue relationship with God. Because this is not of God. Gossip, complaining, cutting people down, that is not of God. And if you're doing that a lot, it's just evidence that you're not doing talking to God a lot. Because you can't talk to God a lot and gossip about somebody else at the same time. And by the way, if you're gossiping about somebody else a lot and you're talking to God, you ain't really communicating with God. You're just talking up to the sky. Because God will shut you up. He will convict you. And so my point is this, is that if you have relationship issues, whether you've offended somebody or someone's been hurt for you and you need to apologize or you need to ask for forgiveness or you need to just clear the air, you need to go deal with that right away. And guess what? It will release you. I had an issue with a friend, a very good friend. We had a blow up. It hurt me, and I'm sure it hurt him because we were friends for over a decade. It was so frustrating because I was so mad that it got to that point. And I was talking to my counselor about it, and she says, here's what you need to do. You need to call him up, and you need to apologize just for your part, and because his behavior is not your responsibility. So you just apologize for what you did, and you leave it at that. And by the way, when you repent, you have no defense. You can't defend yourself. Well, here's what I did. I'm sorry, but here's why I did it. No, I was wrong. I'm sorry for this. Please forgive me. Good? Okay, thank you. That's it. Not, now what are you going to do? No, that's not your job. Because here's the thing. When someone hurts you, you hold a grudge because in your mind you want them to unhurt you. So you talk about them. And you try to pay them back for your pain. But every time you talk about them, you acknowledge that they still have power over you. You have to say, no, I'm not requiring you to fix my pain. God will minister to me. God will heal me. So I release you of healing my pain. Now, it doesn't mean I'm not going to protect myself from you. It doesn't mean I'm going to be leery unless we make up and I can forget about it as long as it happens. But it doesn't mean that you approve what the person did. It means that you are going to God for healing. My point is this, if you have a relationship issue here and you're trying to get power from God, God is saying we have to first deal with that. Because if you can learn to deal with horizontal human-human relationships and conflicts by going to God, guess what? You will be, I don't want to say bulletproof, but almost bulletproof, because anything no one can do to you. They can talk about you, they can lie to you, whatever. You go, I forgive you. What did Jesus do when he died? Judas says, am I going to betray you? He said, yeah, you're going to betray me. Why don't you go ahead right now? Go talk to the guys, get your money and go betray me. Okay, and he left. Then Peter, you're going to deny me three times today. What did he do to Peter? He restored him. Judas comes up. He says, go ahead, Judas, kiss me. Let everybody know I'm the guy. Go ahead, do your thing, because I got to go. The guy who was nailed him to the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive him. He don't know what he's doing. If you can get to that point, guess what? Everybody in your life you can love without requiring anything. I have learned it is so liberating when you require nothing from anyone. In other words, you know, people, sometimes someone will do something to me and negative, and someone will say, what do you think? And I'll say, nothing. Nothing. But it just, don't matter. Didn't that surprise you? No. People do what people do. And you know what? It has been so liberating when someone will do something and it means it doesn't, it's nothing. They say bad things, lie, cheat, steal, backstab you, and you go, okay, let me pray for you. And it really is no big deal. You get to that point, guess what? You're not walking around with these issues. You're walking around going, how can I love you? How can I love you? How can I love you? Whatever, 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 and go about your business. And God says, now we can get to work. But if you got this issue with that person, she thinks she's all that, he said this, he said, you can't do anything for God because you're so distracted with all these issues. And God's saying, I want to love them through you. So if we can't get to that, what are you asking me for all this other stuff for? Because that's the number one commandment you have. And so my challenge to you is that if you want God to work in your life, one of the things you have to ask yourself, do you have something that God, you owe God? And two, is there a relationship issue you got to clear up? Now, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand in a minute, and here's the question I'm going to ask you. How many of you think you may have one person in your life that fits in one of those categories that you got to get right with? Raise your hand real high. Very good, very good, very good. Here's my challenge to you. Go deal with it and watch what happens. Well, are you saying that... if I call her up, I know what she gonna say. She don't even know Jesus like I know Jesus. It doesn't matter. This has nothing to do with them. It has only to do with you and God. What you have to understand is that if you're obedient over here, God blesses you over here. You want to get a better job? Go say sorry to your mother. If you want to get a good man in your life, go say sorry to your mother. No, for real. You want to do better in school? Start praying every day. My point is this. When you align yourself with the will of God, he will guide and direct you in a path of righteousness, and he will guide and direct you in a path where you're going to be blessed. And even when you don't get blessed the way you think, it's not a curse. In other words, you will learn to understand that the things that you don't like that happen are even from God sometimes, and that they're good things. And that, in other words, some guy may break up with you, and you may, if you get to the point where you're walking in the will of God, you may go, thank you, God, for real. I had a girl break up with me, and I thank God. I didn't have the courage to break up with her. So I just kind of made it so bad for her that she did it to me. That's a manly thing to do. I wasn't a Christian, but still, I still was thanking God because it wasn't right. And my point is this, is when you walk with God, you start to see things God's way. And when God starts to make moves in your life that before you would be crying about, now you're going, I understand. It's okay. And when hurt people hurt you, you don't look at your own, oh, I'm hurt. You look at their hurt. And I can encourage them. I have been amazed. at how God has protected me from being mad at people who hurt me. I'm like, I'm not mad. And you know what God say? That's right. Matter of fact, not only are you not mad, you can go encourage them. Yeah. Well, go ahead. Well, I think I will. It's true. Okay. So what happened was, you need to write something in that block. One thing that you're going to do, you're going to remove that stick. What happened was Israel got the ark stolen by the Philistines. The Philistines had five towns. Everyone say A-G-A-G-E. A-G-A-G-E. Those are the five towns of the Philistines. They were Ashdod, Gath. Goliath was a champion of Gath. You had Ashkelon and Gaza Strip. And then you had Ekron. Five towns. And they had five lords over those towns. Okay? Well, all of the towns got cursed because they had the ark. They had something that didn't belong to them. And they put the ark in the temple of their god, Dagon. And they put it at the feet of Dagon. And Dagon, it was like Dagon's trophy. Our god beat your god. The problem is, the next day, Dagon fell over and his arms broke. They put it up again. He fell over again because the god of the Bible said, I ain't going to be chumped by that god. So he not only destroyed that god, and he gave hemorrhoids to all the people in the Philistines. They were all kind of, hey, what's that? And he completely covered their towns with rats. So they're like, this has to be the hand of God. So we got to get rid of this ark. Why? Because it doesn't belong to us, and we ain't enjoying it. By a show of hands, this is I'm really getting personal with you, but please don't raise your hand if you feel like you don't want to be personal. How many of y'all have something in your life that you think you should be enjoying, but you're not because you know you shouldn't have it? Woo! I ain't going near you. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. So what happened was, here's what they're going to do. They're going to say, we're going to send the Ark of the Covenant. Now, I want you to think of the Ark of the Covenant. They're going to say, put it on a cart. Take two cows. Everyone say milk cows. Take two milk cows, put a straps on them, and they're going to pull the cart with the Ark of the Covenant on it, a golden rat, five rats, one from each town, and five golden hemorrhoids. Tumors, hemorrhoids, they call it. And these are milk cows. Everyone say milk cow. Here's what they're going to say. They're going to say, I want you to take the milk cows and send the milk cows that way, and I want you to take the calves and put them over there. Now, think with me. How many of you have never had a child? Raise your hand. Okay. Okay, fellas, put your hands down. How many ladies? Taking kind of literal there. I've never had a child. Yeah. That's right. I've been trying, but, you know, it just ain't working out. How many ladies have never had a child? Okay, let me tell you something, ladies. Tell you a few things about having a baby, though I know. But unfortunately, I know more about having a baby than you, okay? Because my wife has had three, and I've been through it, and I've witnessed. Number one, when you have a baby, you will experience and this is true of the fellows as well, but especially the women, you will experience a love, quality of love you never experienced in your life. By the way, it's a quality of love that is not even close to anything you've ever experienced for anybody, even yourself. That's a fact. Okay, number two, you will have a connection to a human that you've never had in your life. That's why when girls put babies in garbage cans, it can't fathom how someone can do that, okay? When you have a baby and you are breastfeeding that baby, and that baby's very life, and by the way, if you want to learn about the marvel of God, what happens between the mom and the baby during breastfeeding and the chemicals in the mother's milk that helps the baby, it's phenomenal. blow your mind, and they can never reproduce it. It's God made. But when you are breastfeeding your baby, that very baby's life is completely dependent on you. Do you think it would be hard or easy to separate a breastfeeding mother from the baby? Hard or easy?
Hard.
Okay. A milk cow is a breastfeeding mother. We always think, oh, it's just milk that we can drink. No, the milk is for the calf. We're the only creature on the planet that drinks milk from another animal. Did you know that? Why are we drinking a cow's milk? That's just gross. So when the cow is a milk cow is a breastfeeding mother and the calf is the baby. Are you following me? Do you think it would be natural for the milk cow to walk away from its calf? No. So here's what they said. We know that. So what we're going to do is we're going to separate the milk cow. Put the cart on it. It's never pulled a cart. It don't know what that means. Put the ark on it, and if the milk cow walks back to its babies, we know that God didn't cause all this. As a matter of fact, the ark and the power of the ark is not involved. But we know if the milk cow walks away from its kids and pulls this cart, which is completely unnatural, we know that must be of God. Are you following me? Every single one of you, if God is working in your life, you, like that cow, will do what's completely opposite of what your flesh wants to do. I have to be first. No, you don't. And you know what? It's okay. I don't have to be first. I'm going to get him back. No, you don't. Oh, it's okay. I don't have to get him back. I'm going to hoard all this money to myself. And then God says, no, you don't. And you go, oh, it's okay. I'm going to spend all my time for me. No, you're going to start serving somebody else, volunteering in the church. You're going to start doing stuff that's opposite. The Bible says that the flesh, your carnal nature, your me, is at war with the Spirit of God. Spirit of God says go right, your flesh says go left. They always are at war. If you're like the milk cow being led by God, you're going to follow the Spirit against the counsel of your flesh. Are you following me? So what God's telling you today is I want to unleash power in your life. You want to know how you do it? Let me lead you. Remove that stick. Do what I'm telling you to do against your nature. And it is going to be hard. It's going to require faith. It's going to be courage and require courage. But God will never tempt you and call you to do something that he doesn't empower you to do. So if you feel like, man, he's calling me to get up at 5 o'clock and read the Bible, you can do it. He's calling you to go serve this person. He's calling you to go give this money. He's calling you to go pray. He's calling you to go on a fast. He's calling you to start a ministry. Whatever it is, he's calling you to go apologize to somebody. You can do it. The longer you wait, the harder it gets. But let me tell you something. If you do it, he empowers you. Then you do another one, he empowers you. Next thing you know, you're going on and on and on. So we're going to pray in a minute. And I'm going to challenge you as I'm praying to, like the cow, get up and come on down here. Now, if God can speak to a cow and lead a cow to go against its nature, certainly he could do that for you. Certainly he could say to you, you need to get saved, come on. You need to repent, come on. You too, come on. So when I'm praying, I'm going to ask you just to come on, the music's going to play. If you're up in the balcony, all you got to do is turn around, walk up, ushers will bring you down. But if you really want God's power in your life, you got to learn to be led by his Spirit. You can't be doing what you want to do because it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about doing the opposite. And he will tell you what that is. So let's all bow for a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness and thank you for today and just the wonderful day we had here at church. Thank you for all the people that came here today. And all the people who read the Bible with us today and prayed with us today. Thank you for all the people who came forward. There's some of you right now, God is calling you. He's saying to you, I want you to walk away from your old life and come on down to the altar. I have need of you. I have something for you to do. I want to change your life. Just get up out of your seat and come on down to the altar. Your heart knows that what God is saying to you is true. Just ask the person next to you, please excuse me, I need to walk. God bless you. Good. Eyes closed, heads bowed. This is nothing to do with anybody around you. It has just to do with you. Bring your girlfriend, your boyfriend. Come down by yourself. Bring your parents. Just get up and come on down. God bless you. Come all the way down to the stage. If God is speaking to you, listen to him. If he's telling you to do something, do it. That is the definition of love for God, is to be obedient. So just get up out of your seat and come on down. And allow him to do in your life what he wants you him to do. Come down here and lay that stick down at the altar. That one thing that's blocking God in your life. God bless you. God bless you. There are some of y'all sitting in the seat and you're going, I know I should go down there. Well, then get up and come on down. Just get up and come on down. This is not the place you want to procrastinate. This is the place you want to exercise faith. Good, 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 good. Lord, we thank you for being so patient. And Lord, there are some people who are so quick to dream and take risk in the world. But when it comes to spiritual things, they're so scared. But you are such a gentleman. You are so gentle with us, so patient. We have no reason to be scared of surrendering everything to you and trusting you. So don't be scared to give yourself to God and surrender everything to God. Let him have his complete way with your life. Trust him. Anybody else? Get up out of your seat. Very good. Come on. Come on. The people next to you will move. They will. Some of you have an okay Christian life. Things are going pretty good. You got a little Bible study. Good Christian friends. And God is like, that's good. That's safe. But that's only the beginning. There are people right now in hospitals in San Diego dying of AIDS. How come we're not in there praying with them? There are people living under the bridge, laying on the street downtown in Hillcrest. There's prostitutes walking on El Cajon Boulevard. How come we're not ministering to them? God wants more from you. Good. Good. So you being a Bible study and living your safe Christian life, that's good, but that's only the beginning. God has not blessed you just so you can be blessed. He's blessed you to pass it on. So what spiritual gifts do you have? What passions do you have? There are over 7,000 kids in foster care in San Diego. We have a program to mentor them. How come you're not one of those mentors? And what a blessing to have someone 25 as your mentor when you're 15. Why can't you do that? You can. You can. You have time. You have ideas. You have access, and God wants more of it. Anybody else? Get up out of your seat. Good, good. There are people in San Diego who can't read. Therefore, they don't come to church, and you can teach them. Let's go. Anybody else? Anybody else? Good. Good. There are kids sitting in juvenile hall right now. Why can't we go pray with them? Come on. Good. Good. Lord, I pray for all these people, and I thank you that they came. I thank you that they got out of that seat, and I pray you honor them for their faith and courage. And I know you will, and I pray they be obedient this week. And Lord, I pray we would be obedient this week. I pray that your power would flow through our lives when people would say, what is going on with those people? How are all those miracles happening? Use us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Did anybody have a nightmare last night? Okay, I had a nightmare between 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock in the morning. And I know that because I woke up.